for it. Christmas is coming. I hope he remembers this day right now when it comes. It's so good to be at PFYC this year. I've been thoroughly enjoying the week and the power and the presence of God that has been here. And I know that you're excited about a lot of things right now. You're excited, number one, probably about the service, right? Number two, you're probably excited about going home and taking what you have gotten or received here and taking it to your church. And I trust that the power of God will not just stay right here, but it'll go with us. For we realize that this building is not the tabernacle, but we are the tabernacle, and the presence of God dwells with us. Amen. And so we want to take it home with us, don't we? Amen. I appreciate everything that has been done. It is an honor and a privilege to preach to you this afternoon. And I've been praying that God's power and spirit will just move in this house. If you would open your Bibles to Psalms chapter number 24. Psalms chapter number 24. We'll read verse 3 through verse number 6. Psalms chapter number 24, verse number 3 through verse number 6. I'm excited about next year already, moving over into the new building and just seeing what God is going to do there. But I'd like for us to just put our focus for a few minutes here on Psalms chapter 24, verse number 3. If you have it, say amen. The Bible said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Notice the next verse. He said, "This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah." Hallelujah. This is the generation of them that seek him. Amen. Can we just lift our hands right now and ask the Lord to anoint us and have his way? Heavenly Father, would you move in this service this afternoon? Move by your power, move by your glory. Lord, I pray that you would settle in and anoint the preaching and move in the altar, and we'll give you glory and honor and praise. And everyone said, amen and amen. I'd like to say I appreciate a good group coming from our church this year and being here, and I just appreciate the way they've been getting in service. Amen. I want to preach to you, if the Lord would help me for a little while, on this thought. It's your turn. It's your turn. According to Scripture's time clock, a generation will last approximately 23 years. There are some Bible references that will lengthen that out and will extend it up to even 40 years. But the simple facts that I want to point you to this afternoon are this: that one generation fades off of the scene as another one comes to the forefront. No generation is that generation that dominates time and eternity. For time has its own way of bringing one generation down as surely as it lifts up another generation. Amen. But what I want to tell you this afternoon is this: that from one generation to the next, there is a faith that must be preserved. Amen. There is a faith that must be preserved. The faith that was once delivered to the saints of God has got to be preserved. It must be guarded. It must be defended. It must be fought for and fought over. Hallelujah. For the enemy would like to come in and take away the faith that we have received. But we must be one that contends for the faith. That word to contend means to wrestle or to battle or to fight for the faith. Amen. Church, hear the preacher. Amen. This is a faith that must be kept. Amen. It is your obligation to keep the faith. It is your obligation to contend for the faith that was delivered to the church of God. Amen. I tell you, this faith cannot be passed on as a damaged faith. It cannot be allowed that the enemy would destroy it or would tear it down. Amen. I remember the story being told of a woman that had a family heirloom. She cherished it and protected it. She kept it in a curio cabinet in her living room, and periodically
quickly she would pull it out and she would show it to her children. She would tell about great grandma and grandma, amen, that held that, and mother now held it, and now it's in our hands going to another generation. It is a priceless treasure that the family holds on to. Amen. One day that woman came home from work and her little girl met her at the door and said, "Mom, do you remember that priceless treasure? Do you remember that family heirloom that has gone from generation to generation?" She said, "I guess that I will be known as the generation that dropped it." For she had dropped it and broken it. Friend, I tell you today that what we have received, the things that we have heard taught this week, the things that we believe and hold to be true, we must not let them be damaged. We must not drop them in this day. Have you made a commitment that I'll keep the faith? I'll preserve my heritage. I'll preserve Pentecost. I'll preserve holiness. If you've not made that commitment, make it now. How do you do it? Learn it and love it and live it. Put it in effect in your life. Amen. It is a faith that must be passed on. Not only is it preserved, but it must be passed on. You see, if our faith is not passed on from one generation to the next, then we have failed. Amen. You see, we not only fail our generation, but we fail the next generation. Then not only do we do that, but we fail the holiness movement and we fail our great God, Jehovah. Amen. We must preserve it and we must pass it on. This holiness that we have is a heritage that has been given from one generation to another, and we must have it ready to hand it off. This Pentecostal power that we enjoy, it must be ready to hand off, and it's got to go to the next generation. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us realize that one generation moves off the scene and another one comes in. But there's got to be a constant handing off, amen, from one generation to another of the power of Pentecost and the heritage of holiness. The story was told to me of a man and a woman, older man and woman, that were fleeing a foreign country. They had with them their daughter and her little baby. As they were traveling, escaping out of that country, amen, they went through the snow, they went through ice, they went through treacherous terrain, they went until their strength was almost gone. Finally, that elderly man fell to the ground and he said, "I cannot go any further. You go on ahead, you leave me here and leave me to die, but you escape with your life." Amen. They sit there and tried to help him up. They tried to coerce him and force him to get up. Finally, that mother of that little baby walked over and knelt down in the snow and said to that elderly father, she said one little thing in his ear. Amen. That man immediately jumped up out of the snow, walked over and picked up the baby, and he walked on through the mountains and through the valleys and escaped with their lives. Amen. Years later, that mother asked that younger lady, she said, "What did you go over and whisper in his ear?" She said, "And I simply told him, it's your turn to carry the baby. I came to tell somebody today, it's your turn to carry the baton. It's your turn to carry holiness. It's your turn to carry the church. It's your turn to carry the power. It's your turn to hold it. This is the generation." Amen. It's your time. It's your hour. It's your moment. It is time for you to get up and walk on through the mountain and the valley of life and carry the baby. These folks are going to help me for a few minutes. Hey man, every runner that is in a relay race has a baton. Hey man, that baton is what is passed from one runner to another. Hey man, that baton is held in the hand. They are taught and schooled of how to hold it just right. They are taught how to run at the right time to blend in with that other runner, run alongside them, and then hand that baton off. Amen. We have three generations here that are represented on the platform. Amen. The first one is a dear saint of God. Amen. That has lived a life of holiness and truth. Amen. She has been a mother and a grandmother. Amen. She has preserved it. Amen. You can look at Sister Binkley and see the presence of God. You can see her, amen, example of holiness. You can see the life that she has lived. Amen. Kept a stellar character and a stellar record on her life. Amen. She has carried the baton. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, you have had to preserve it. You had to fight for holiness. You had to stand up for Pentecost. You had to have an experience yourself. But Grandma walked across the stage. Amen. That elder generation. Amen. And she has met another generation. It is the generation of her son. Amen. He has taken the baton. Brother Rick Binkley. He has carried the baton of holiness. He has carried the baton of Pentecost. Amen. They are blended together. And now he is walking on. Amen. Yes, Sister Binkley is here. But Brother Binkley is walking on. He's passing the baton. Hey, Mom and Dad, hear the preacher. How in the world will we ever get the baton to the next generation if you don't have it for yourself? Amen. Why don't you have Pentecost? Why don't you have power? But then hand it off to the next generation and let them carry it. I came to tell Fire Conference, it's your turn, son. It's your turn, girl. It's your turn. It's time for your youth group to have it. It's time for your church to have it. It's time for you to have it in your Christian school. It is your turn. This is the generation. Whoa, hallelujah. Notice a few things. First of all, the greatness of their passion. He said, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face. If you want the power and the presence of God, you must passionately seek it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You must passionately seek godly things. Matthew chapter 6. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you want the power of God in your life, do not seek after anything but the power of God. Do not seek after the things of the world. Amen. You let God provide, but you seek after the power. You seek after God. Put your focus on him. Seek his presence. Seek the power of the Holy Ghost. Seek him in prayer. Seek him in fasting. Get passionate about it. Oh God, whatever church needs is a passionate youth group, a passionate young man, a passionate young woman. You've got a passion for truth, a passion for power, a passion for the Holy Ghost, a passion for revival. Get passionate about worship. Get passionate about shouting. Get passionate about singing. Amen. Show God how much you want his power. Every generation has to have their own story of glory. Amen. Brother Height preached last night. I spoke to him earlier this week trying to confirm some dates. You see, Brother Height told us last night he's 56. Is that what he said, 56? Amen. Brother Height was preaching when I got saved at Granite City Youth Camp. Brother Height was preaching 2 weeks later at Elko Youth Camp when I got the Holy Ghost. He came later that summer. Some of you brothers from home, Brother Shoecraft, you'll remember impact rallies that we had in Paducah. Remember those, Brother Binkley? Amen. Impact rallies. All our churches would gather together from a large area around Paducah, if I remember right, and we would have impact rallies. Brother Height came and preached the one in that October, and once again, he grabbed me literally by the neck and pulled me to the altar and prayed me through till I hit bedrock. Amen. But let me tell you my story of glory. Can I do it? I remember the summer of 1988. That's when I got the Holy Ghost. Brother Height was preaching Elko Youth Camp. One day we got up to have choir practice. When the choir began to sing and try to learn that new song, hey man, new at that time, look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. The power of the Holy Ghost fell on that platform. Amen. They shouted all over the place, rolled in the floor, and had a glorious Holy Ghost meeting for hours as the power of God moved. I remember sitting on the little concrete step as the Holy Ghost was moving and the Holy Ghost falling on me. Amen. They said I laughed in the spirit. They said I talked in other tongues, but that was a day that changed my life. Amen. It is a day where I can tell you, amen, I got my story of glory. But what I want to know is this: when are you going to get your story? When are you going to have a day that'll so transform your life? Amen. Oh, you need to get passionate about having your own story. Amen. You need the power, you need the glory, and you're going to have to get passionate. Lose your passion for the things of the world. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. Get passionate after the Holy Ghost. If you want it, seek it. Not only the greatness of their passion, but notice the goal of their purity. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. There must be a purity in your life, and it must be your goal. Your generation is struggling with the importance of purity. Oh, yes. Purity in the thought life. Oh. Purity in the mind. It doesn't have to be really anything you see, but there is an onslaught against the mind. Oh, the mind has been so overwhelmed by what we have heard and what we have seen and what we have partaken in. Amen. We are the generation net. You are the generation net. Amen. That means you are on the net. You are on a screen. It's either an iPhone or an iPod or an iPad or a computer or a television. You are on the screen. Amen. But you have got to keep the purity of your mind. It doesn't matter where it's at. Keep your mind pure. Amen. Oh, there is a battle for purity in your activities. There is a battle for purity in your morals. There is a battle that is raging for the purity of your heart. You must be pure. You say, Brother Brim, I want to take my turn. I want the glory and power of God. You've got to be pure. He said, who shall ascend? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You've got to have that purity if you want his power and his presence in your life. It is an experience on the inside. He said the pure heart. If you try to live holiness on the outside without having it on the inside, you will fail over and over. The Amish can do things or wear things that are, amen, much more decent than what we wear, amen, but yet they have no power of God because their religion is caught up, amen, in their bonnet and their straight pins for buttons, and they're worried about all of that, amen, but they have forgotten there's a heart experience. Young man, if you want to be pure in your heart, and when your heart is pure, it will solve every other issue. It will take care of every other element of life. Amen. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. Get your heart pure. I said, get your heart pure. Purified on the altar. Let sin be taken out of your heart to where you don't desire it. You don't want it. You have no inkling for it. Amen. Get a pure heart. Not only is it an experience on the inside, but it will have its expression on the outside. Clean hands. You see, once God cleanses your heart, he will clean your life. Amen. Holiness will always show through. You cannot be holy on the inside and be filthy and immoral and ungodly on the outside. Whoa, hallelujah. Can I tell you what troubles me with some of the things I see in this precious generation? Amen. It troubles me that I see girls, amen, that do not worry about the way they look. They're not concerned about the length of their skirt so much, amen, as they are as appealing to the boys. They're not concerned about the modesty of their neckline as they are so much as appealing or to the boys or fitting in with the world. Amen. Let me tell you, you need to get a pure heart, for a pure heart would settle a lot of the issues that we have to preach on and deal with and keep going over and over and over. Let me tell you, if your pastor has had to deal with you on an issue on the outside, it's really because of an issue that's on the inside. For when you get a pure heart, you're going to have clean hands. If you get your soul right and your life right, your lip will match your life. Your hands will match your heart. Amen. You need to get it right on the inside and let it come out on the outside. Every Christian must live according to God's word. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Follow peace with all men. For without that one thing, no man shall see the Lord. Cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh. Those are commands of God. Amen. It's time for you, generation. It's time for you, young people. It's time for you, young man. Amen. To have purity as a goal. Amen. And say, I want to be pure. And I want to be passionate about God. Because I want His presence. Amen. Is that what you want? Is that what you desire? Would you like the glory of God to fill this building? Would you like the power of the Holy Ghost to so saturate this house? It'll come if you get passionate, if you're willing to stand up, if you're willing to lift up, if you're willing to raise up, if you're willing to go with God, and you're willing to be pure. I tell you, we can have a story of glory in this house today. Amen. I must hurry. The glory of His presence. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who is it that's going to be in the presence of the Lord? Woo. It's those that have a passion and those that are pure. They're the ones that's going to have His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. I know there are other denominations that have conventions like this. I know there are other groups that gather in their young people. I know they do that. I understand. Amen. But I'm a little partial to the holiness people. Yeah, I am. I'm partial to us because I believe that we are trying to do what is right by the word of God. And I believe that we can have in this building today, amen, the presence of the Lord that would settle down on this house, because I believe we got some pure young people that have purity as their goal, and they love holiness and truth. If that's right, let me hear you say amen. Oh yeah, I believe we've got 1,000, 2,000, 3, amen, to have that as their goal. I believe we've got some young men and women that are passionate for the power, and they want to have it for themselves. Amen. I came to tell you today, if you will get that passion and you will live in that purity, we can have His presence. I believe the glory of the Lord can fill this house today and make a difference in your life. I believe you can go home and point back to Saturday, April the 9th, and say, that's where I got the power. That's where I got the glory. That's my story. Amen. You can tell about how you got baptized. You can tell about how you shouted. You can tell about your life change. Oh, God, give us a story of glory in this building this morning. Give us a power of heaven that'll fill our lives. It's your turn, church. It's your turn, young man. It's your turn, young lady. It's your day for the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. I'm just about done. Listen to me. In 2 Kings chapter number 2, 2 Kings chapter 2. There are two men, Elijah and Elisha, that are walking together. And in verse number 14, something happens. Hey, chariot of fire, horses of fire, a whirlwind, and one is taken away. And out of the sky falls a mantle. Oh, glory. That mantle fell to the ground. Do you know what it was? It was heaven saying, it's been his turn for a while. It's been his turn for a few years, but now it's your turn. Here's the baton for your generation. Ah, yes. I'd like to see some young man even take the baton and say, I'm ready for it to be my turn. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5, listen to what it says. He said, I went. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Eunice, or Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's in thee also. He said one generation had it. They handed it off to the next, but now it's your turn. I came to tell you, church, it's your turn. It's your turn to have the glory. It's your turn to have the power. Stir it up. Amen. Take the baton and run for your generation. In our text, he said, this is the generation. Woo. The last generation was good, but this is the generation that's going to have it. The last generation was great, but this is the generation that's going to get it. Amen. Oh, young man, I want to tell you today, right now there's a baton that's being handed off to you. Amen. The other generation has ran their leg of the race, and now it's offered to you. It's your turn. It's your turn. In the book of Acts chapter number 2, and I'm closing with this, the Bible said, even that they had the power of Pentecost. It was for that 120 that was in the upper room. But then Peter looked at them and he said, boys, I want to tell you something. Amen. This is for them. Amen. But it's not only for them. It's for your children. Amen. That's the next generation. And for all them that are afar off, that reaches to us. It's your turn to have Pentecost. It's your turn to have power. It's your turn to have the glory. Is there anybody wants it? Is there anybody ready? Amen. The altar's open. I'm looking for somebody that'll say, I want it for my generation. I want it in my church. I want it in my youth group. I want it at my house. I'll take the baton. I'll take it. I want the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be pure. I'm going to be passionate. I just want the power of the Holy Ghost to move in my life, to move in my soul, to move in my youth group, to move in my church. It's your turn. It's not just for the 120. It's not just for Brother Heights' generation. It's not just for Tim Brim's generation, but it's for your generation.
Simon, Philip, and the Hung, James, the son of Zebedee, Thomas, Andrew,